This is What Does It Profit? And I'm your host, Dr. Dawn Carpenter. If you're a regular listener, you know that we are a business show that talks about the social and moral value of business. You also know that we're in the off season, working on show improvements and a social media rollout that will come later this summer as we get ready to launch season 3 in September. But as you know, we're not leaving you. Every 2 weeks this summer, we're back to reflect on some of what we've learned on this journey together. This week, we're going to the WeDip catalog to pull out a conversation we had in December with Lisa Menza, the CEO of the Opportunity Finance Network. You remember OFN, right? The Industry Coalition of Community Development Financial Institutions, or CDFIs as we call them, those financial first responders. When we last talked with Lisa, you might remember that we were in the midst of a raging COVID crisis. We were witnessing the fallout of the 2020 presidential election, and we were in the midst of the next phase of the Black Lives Matter movement with its continued calls for racial and economic justice. Here we are, 6 months later. As someone once said, the more things change, the more they stay the same. The COVID crisis in the United States has abated. The fallout from the 2020 election keeps falling farther and farther out there. And the Black Lives Matter movement has penetrated more and more into our national public policy area. For those of you who've gotten to know me a bit, you'll know I have optimism in my DNA. But I'm old enough and I've read enough to have a sense of perspective. You know, as I see it, we are still a nation in crisis. A crisis of conscience, I would say. We find ourselves in a place and time where we are being asked whether we really can and want to live up to our highest ideals as a nation. Is there the will to offer the American dream to all of us? That's a tough one. If you're truly honest, it means that no one willing to work for that American dream gets left out. But truth be told, I think that Rufus Miles might have had it right when he said, "Where you stand depends upon where you sit." If you sit in a community wracked by violence, you see it one way. If you sit in a community that's passed over and passed by in a changing economy, you see it one way. If you sit in a community rattled by those suffering from disease and addiction, you see it one way. If you're simply left out because of who you are, what you look like, or who you love, you see it another way. But we all see the injustice. Put simply, the way we treat each other in the end affects all of us. How we allocate resources and opportunities changes lives and legacies. Justice is the duty that we owe each other. If you kick the cobwebs off of ancient Greek philosophy, Plato likened justice to the soul, just like we might health to the body. So let's rewind to December. If you were listening to What Does It Profit back then, you would have heard a bit of this track from the New Jersey singer-songwriter Peter Collins. Peter's amazing renditions of jazz, R&B, and soul classics earned him a virtual gig at the famed Royal Albert Hall in London during lockdown. And after a deep dive in the bowels of YouTube, we found him singing the gospel classic, "I Don't Feel No Ways Tired." Still seems kind of fitting. Take a listen to Lisa Menza, the CEO of the Opportunity Finance Network, and I as we riff on this anthem of endurance, resilience, and perseverance as we talked about the work of community development financial institutions and the growing movement for finance justice. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dawn. Lovely to be here.
Well, I have to start at what I see as the beginning of all of this, this idea of finance justice. What is that all about?
Oh, Don, now that's a great question. Finance justice is the name we've given our recent conference and a new fund. But to me, it's an acknowledgement that justice, the fight for justice, and here in our country of America, is going to take money. The fight to undo all the injustice in our world is going to take money and investment and undoing the kind of disinvestment that's led to so much injustice and inequality. So I love the term because finance justice connotes getting in there, rolling up your sleeves, doing the hard work that change is going to take. And from my perspective, it will take money.
Yeah, I think of the late John Lewis and, you know, this idea of good trouble. I mean, you guys are, you know, are you doing good trouble in the finance sector?
I love being in the same sentence with John Lewis. Yeah. I think what Lewis taught from a lifetime of staying in the struggle is that justice is a fight. And if you leave things just to markets unfettered or just change as it flows, you won't get the kind of outcomes you need. And so where I feel in deep sympathy with Lewis and his long struggle for civil rights is that I lead a set of institutions that's been fighting for economic rights and using the tool of finance, of lending, to change outcomes for low-income people all throughout the country. And that's a similar struggle. It's just different tools.
Yeah, I think about your opening remarks in your recent 2020 annual conference. You reference an old gospel classic, I Don't Feel No Ways Tired. It happens to be one of my favorites. And I'm going to spare the listeners my version of it.
We both will.
What do you draw from that? What was your inspiration in thinking about that song and the work that you do?
This has been a year of fatigue. It's a pandemic, for goodness sakes. Everybody's working really hard. And what I love about the gospel song, I Don't Feel No Ways Tired, is that it's an ironic acknowledgement of how tough struggle is. And what it says is, despite all that the singer's singing, I don't feel no ways tired because I've come too far. And God didn't bring us this far to leave us. And that's probably the most powerful line for me, that I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. That justice is not without struggle, but struggle is not in vain. Mm. That struggle, rewards come. That the journey has been far. And that the journey is not over. And the journey is worth it. That's my inspiration out of that gospel song, that no matter how tired we feel, how sometimes it doesn't feel like we've gone that far, we have to say there was intention to this. And there was, for a faith audience, a belief that there's, you know, that there's purpose to this, that there is, we're not going to be left out. You know, this is going to have meaning.
Sure. Well, you talk about purpose and mission. I mean, those are the kinds of organizations who are your members. Tell our listeners what this idea of being a community development financial institution, or as we say, a CDFI, what does that mean?
We are a set of institutions who are all lenders. We all lend money, and we do so lending with a heart, lending with purpose. We are, in some cases, loan funds, in some cases, community banks, in some cases, we are venture funds. In some cases, we're credit unions. Sometimes we're very small microenterprise funds, and sometimes we're very large housing funds. But all of us are lenders. All of us use the tools of finance. And finance is both the way we use our money and the way we use our brains and our hearts to make decisions about who gets that money. And for the CDFI field, we are all on a mission to create better communities, move people out of poverty into lives of greater success. And whether we're financing individuals or homes or businesses or facilities, we're trying to move people into lives of greater economic success.
Let that sink in for a minute. Lives of greater economic success. You might be able to imagine why that would be important for you, but can you appreciate why that's important for your neighbor? Or the neighbor on the other side of town? Remember, in the end, we're all part of the same human family. Too bad it takes a once-in-a-century global pandemic to realize how much we need each other. Lisa talked about how we need each other in the context of the work of lending into disinvested communities. And we talked about the hard work that often is very complicated and multidimensional, requiring funding structures with various partners, and leverage is always key.
This is all hinging on partnerships, and they're very diverse players. I mean, I think of the investors, those commercial banks that support the CDFI world. Talk about their role.
Yeah. Luckily, we've got some experience in the 40 years that this field has been at work. We've got some real experience with partners. You know, we're a field that got started with, frankly, religious investors. And we moved to philanthropy and then banks. The Community Reinvestment Act made sure that banks found strong partners with us. But I'm excited about a couple of partnerships. I am excited about what we think is possible with our Finance Justice Fund. And this is our hope to bring $1 billion of new capital into Black and Latino and Native and rural communities. And we want to create a fund that will actually bring those dollars into very low-income Black, Latino, Native, rural communities and let them have greater impacts in small business and housing and facilities financing. And the exciting thing is that corporate America, not ones with CRA obligation, corporate America is interested in this. And we had the exciting case of Twitter that helped us with $100 million of their treasury debt that's going to be with us for 10 years, reaching these communities.
Wow.
And then earlier this summer, we had
not to be outdone by Google, yes.
Coming in. Yeah. So to me, this is an exciting moment for private partnerships, people that have not been part of this field in the past, saying, we trust you. We trust your experience. We want to do our part. We are going to put some of our funds on loan with you so that you can make change in these communities. And I think their ability to do that will spur two other kind of partners. We still need philanthropic dollars. You can't cure poverty just with debt alone. So we're going to need some philanthropic dollars. And then we're going to need some public dollars. And this is the other level of partnership that I'm excited about. There have always been federal dollars that were active in low-income communities, but I think we have a chance now to call on an even stronger partnership and use these private funds in a way that we can leverage the government dollars even further.
Make no mistake, the capital markets are built on leverage. But where Lisa's going with this could be a game changer. If we could imagine a world where mainstream corporations put a portion of their treasury dollars into CDFIs. Lisa mentioned Twitter. Let's not forget the Grow with Google small business loan program. As of May, OFN had disbursed over $110 million to 42 CDFIs around the country. These creative partnerships change the mindset of both investors and entrepreneurs. But let's not forget the biggest investor in the poverty fight. It's still the federal government. And the CDFI industry is expert in leveraging this source of capital. In fact, last year's enormous $900 billion fiscal year 2021 omnibus appropriation and COVID-19 relief bill had historic funding for CDFIs. Without a doubt, this is unprecedented funding that will enable CDFIs to reach deeper into communities hit hardest by the pandemic and to help drive a stronger, more inclusive recovery and economy for the future.
Well, Lisa, I'm not going to let you leave this show without asking you the quintessential What Does It Profit podcast question, which is, Lisa, what does it profit the work that CDFIs do?
I love the name of this podcast, and I love the verse because it's really a verse that I think forces us to look at, in the accounting of life, what really matters.
Right.
And I think that CDFIs and the work I am so privileged to do and to help lead right now, we are saying you can work with the economy that we have here on the eve of 2021, and that you can force that economy to deliver more good to people who haven't got a shake out of this. So what does it profit? It matters. that we get up in the morning and work to finance that business that everybody else has given up on, or the second business that the same entrepreneur is going to have to rebuild after this pandemic. What does it profit? It matters. It means we can help deliver a better life for someone. So for me, the question that your podcast is so beautifully wrestling with, to me, is how do we live in this capitalist society and do it in a way that matters? And I have the privilege to wake up every day and fight for a group of institutions who says, yes, it does matter, and we can do more with the tools we have. And so that's what I would say.
And I don't feel no ways tired.
Amen.
If the work of CDFIs inspires you, we urge you to check out the OFN website and learn more about their 2021 annual conference, October 18th through 21st, where you can engage with Lisa and her team and an army of others in the CDFI industry. Who knows? Maybe you'll be inspired to put your own money in a CDFI or seek out one to support your financial needs. You've been listening to What Does It Profit? And this week, a conversation with Lisa Mensah of OFN. If you're not already a What Does It Profit podcast subscriber, just press the button so you don't miss a thing. Next time on What Does It Profit, we're going to look back on our conversation with the assassin herself, Fahmy Qadir of Softcat Capital. And we'll catch up on the world of activist hedge funds and ruminate a bit on the fact that there are some companies whose demise or major overhaul might make the world a better place. In the meantime, we urge you to connect with our show on LinkedIn to meet other What Does It Profit podcast listeners, and follow us on Twitter at WDIP Podcast as we spend the next few months building out our community on all the other social platforms. What Does It Profit is written and hosted by me, Dr. Dawn Carpenter. This episode was edited and produced by Jordan Gosperé and recorded at Switch and Board Studios. Again, special thanks to our friends at OFN. To learn more about the show and see our long and illustrious group of friends and supporters, check out our website, whatdoesitprofitpodcast.com. And as always, before I let you go, let me remind you to never stop asking yourself, what does it profit?